Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. And as I was meditating and reflecting upon our feast today, I was reminded of a happily married couple of more than two decades and how they shared with me one of the most important things that they discovered or learned about marriage in their first 5 years. Now, their first 5 years weren't really going so well. They were having all sorts of problems, disagreements, difficulties, challenges. It reached a point where they needed professional help. They needed counseling. And what was at the root of this was that each one kept thinking that the other was deliberately doing things to upset or annoy them, as if they didn't really care, as if they didn't really love each other, as if they didn't really want this relationship. One spouse would do something in the house and the other one would see it done and think, "Why would you do that? That makes no sense. It must be because they're trying to upset me." And so the two of them were having so many difficulties. But through counseling, they were able to recognize that they are just two very different people with very different personalities, very different ways of doing things. That neither one was trying to do anything intentionally to upset the other. They just think differently and act differently. And when they had this understanding of their differences, and they were able to overcome their prideful assumption that this was to upset them, their marriage was healing. They were able to overcome that conflict, that confusion. And that's how they were able to have many good years after that together. Now, that may sound very simple. Yeah, people are different. We should recognize and accept those differences. But for this particular couple, it took them 5 years and counseling to figure that out. And so whenever there's conflict, it can be difficult for those in the midst of it to be able to recognize their problems and overcome them. Now, this true story supports a claim that I had heard that the hardest relationship on earth is that of marriage. And after one's relationship with God, the marriage relationship is the most important relationship for us here on earth. As such, married persons need to give their vocation to marriage the time and attention in order to make it thrive, in order to make it successful. In the Archdiocese of St. Louis, there's a suggestion that for each week, married couples should have at least 6 hours of meaningful time together. And they suggest that those 6 hours be divided up throughout the week, 20 minutes a day having meaningful conversation. Meaningful as in not just logistical, like, did you pick up the kids, but meaningful as in talking about things that are rather personal. And then for one of the days during the week, having 2 hours of just time together, meaningful, fruitful time together. And that is helpful for the married couple to sustain their relationship and overcome difficulties and challenges that they may face. But how is it when difficulties and challenges come, how is it that they overcome these things? How is it that they can live out this marriage covenant, this marriage vocation well? Well, there are many things that make a marriage work well. Expressing gratitude to each other for each other. Forgiving each other for even the tiniest little things. And expressing love in a way that one's spouse can recognize and receive it. But what I would really like to focus on is something that we can see in the example of our Holy Family, that of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. They reveal to us a profound kind of humility. In our gospel passage today, Mary and Joseph were fulfilling the Jewish law by taking Jesus to the temple and offering 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons on his behalf. To most people, seeing what Mary and Joseph are doing, this would seem like it is just an ordinary family doing ordinary things. And yet, Simeon and Anna are there in the temple, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they see Jesus, they recognize him as the Messiah, the Christ. They realize how extraordinary this family is. In fact, Simeon is so overcome with joy that he tells God, okay, I can die now because I've seen the Christ. And Anna, she's so filled with joy that anyone who comes and anyone who's willing to listen, she tells them about Jesus. And although they are so extraordinary, the Holy Family was also very humble. They didn't try to draw attention to themselves. Mary and Joseph weren't like, hey, our son's God. No, they were very humble. They continued to live a life that looked rather ordinary. And we too should be humble and strive to live out our faith humbly. And in humility, it's important for couples, it's important for families, it's important for people in general to recognize that sometimes there's tension and conflict in these relationships. And conflict within a family, within a marriage, that's normal. That's okay. But it can't just be ignored or set aside. Conflict needs to be addressed and resolved so that there can be the fruitful thriving of that relationship that God has in mind for the couple and for that family. How that conflict is handled will make a difference as to whether that family grows stronger together or if they start to break apart. The couple that I mentioned at the beginning of my homily, they were breaking apart during those first 5 years. And then when they had the counseling, when they had somebody else help them recognize what was happening in their relationship, and they were able to overcome that conflict and recognize their differences, then they were stronger than ever. And so I'm going to share with you some tips and strategies for overcoming conflict. These things I've learned from the marriage preparation materials that are used for couples that are desiring to be married. The first thing, most important thing perhaps, is prayer. If you recognize there's a difference, there's a conflict, there's something that needs to be resolved in this relationship, to pray to God beforehand. To pray for insight, to pray for help, to pray for His grace. And with that, a person can better enter into that conversation, better address that issue. But also to pray together before even talking about whatever it may be. Starting with that position, asking God to open hearts and minds helps the couple to be better disposed to address the conflict. It helps them to start off as a team, working together to address whatever the issue might be, rather than setting them opposed to each other. And then, when the conflict is resolved, to pray again in gratitude and thanksgiving to God for allowing and helping that couple to overcome that particular conflict. And so something else that's very important and follows very closely to that is that there can be a tendency or a temptation for couples to make their spouse the problem. But never make your spouse the problem. That only makes things worse. Never make your spouse the problem. That only makes things worse. Make the problem and approach it as a team together, overcoming that problem. It might be helpful to say between spouses, you're not the problem, but when blank happens, that is the problem. So let's talk about it. It's also important to recognize that conflicts, that disagreements, are typically co-created. It's not usually just one person, or it's not one-sided, but rather both together causing and contributing to the conflict. And so in humility, it's important for both spouses, for both people in the midst of this conflict, to recognize their own contribution to the conflict. To recognize that they should not be blaming the other person for everything that is causing their tension and disagreement, but rather humbly admitting what they have done to contribute to the difficulties. There's also a very helpful acronym. It's called HALT. H-A-L-T. It stands for hungry, angry, lonely, tired. These are four basic conditions that when someone is in those conditions, they're not in a good position to have a serious conversation. And there are other conditions too, where a person is not well disposed for a serious conversation. Because when someone is hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, they're going to be more irritable. They're going to not think as clearly. They're not going to be as charitable towards the other person, and they're more likely to be defensive when anything is brought up. So this acronym HALT means, you know, stop. Do not proceed with this serious conversation because it is not going to go well if someone is hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Just set aside that conflict, that serious conversation, for a time when both persons are at their best and ready to address the issue. It's very helpful to understand and acknowledge before trying to fix a situation. If somebody is upset, to understand that and tell them, I understand that you're upset about this. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to be understood. And when we understand the other person and acknowledge what's going on for them, their perspective, their understanding, then it helps both couples to be more relaxed, more calm. It helps the people to more easily enter into that serious conversation as a team, knowing that the other person, oh, they understand me. We can move forward. When resolving conflicts, there's a need to maintain a peaceful assertiveness, keeping a calm tones and volumes. There can be a tendency when the argument can be something very personal, very painful, for one or both of the spouses to start to raise their voices. But that doesn't really help. But maintaining a peaceful assertiveness, remaining calm, can help set the example for the other spouse who might be raising their voice to see that example and to follow it and to remain calm as well. It's important to recognize that any kind of abuse should not be tolerated. Physical abuse would include hitting, biting, slapping, shoving, etc. But there's also non-physical abuse, and that can include shouting, threatening, belittling, name-calling, humiliating, having harsh criticism, gaslighting. Any of those things are not going to be helpful and will only add to the problems. If there's any kind of abuse in a marriage, then the couple should seek help and not try to overcome it by themselves. Healing is possible, and marriages can still be saved, even if there is abuse within it. Lastly, even if there isn't any abuse, conflicts can sometimes be still too difficult to overcome on their own. And couples that have such conflicts, depending upon what kind of conflict it might be, should seek out help from others. Maybe it can be as simple as a trusted mutual friend that can be spoken to, or a priest, or if necessary, a professional counselor or therapist to overcome those differences, those challenges, those conflicts that the couple may be facing. The couple I mentioned at the beginning of this homily, they cared enough about each other and enough about their marriage to have the humility to seek out the help that they needed. And so I would hope that all married couples here would have that same dedication to their spouse and to their marriage. If spouses learn to overcome their conflicts, they can more easily grow in holiness together and live out their vocation to marriage well. These tips that I've presented, I presented them with the emphasis on marriage, but really they work in any kind of conflict among any people, whether it be friends or co-workers. All of these tips can be helpful for overcoming conflict. But today, since we are celebrating the Holy Family, let us turn to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph and have them as our example of how family and marriage should be done with humility. Loving embrace of each other, care for one another. And of course, feel free to use any of these tips and strategies that I've mentioned. I know there were kind of a lot of them, but thankfully I'm recording it, so if you want to hear it again later, you can. I'll post it on my blog. Let us all pray for our families as we prepare to encounter our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the most holy Eucharist.